during this live broadcast is 1-800-858-6582. If you have unlimited long distance or are calling from a cell phone, please use our toll number 1-559-733-5161. That's 1-559-733-5161. Thank you.
I watch the television, I'll read the news. I see America's youth learn to sing the blues.
Okay, we're back with the broadcast, listeners, and we've got Dave with us to expound on this corporate system. Go ahead, Dave, continue.
Oh, yeah, no trouble. Well, the problem is that we, and this is almost a biblical thing, you know, where, you know, the problem of numerology or something like that, where people have virtually made a religion out of making money. And I almost think that, you know, as much as I've read about Moses and you know, the development of Judeo-Christian religion, you know, I are you familiar with the concept of Jubilee?
I don't think so.
Well, it's this idea that, you know, if you're living in the real world, you know, living on, like, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, they were living on the land, and you had droughts, you had blights, you had floods, you had all sorts of different acts of God that would change everybody's life. But there were they had money from Croesus, you know, they had gold money and they had paper money, and so people were borrowing money, and you would have loans, you know, 5-year loans, 10-year loans, things like that. Nowadays we're getting into 20 and 30-year mortgages and whatnot. And when you're living in a world where you can't guarantee from year to year whether or not you're going to have a flood, a blight, a plague, any kind of pestilence or whatever, you can't guarantee that you'll ever be able to pay off that note. And this idea that, you know, we, the greatest amount of Americans nowadays are living in cities and they don't live on the land in any way, you know, they've gotten in this kind of an imaginary sort of way where they believe that the world of the future is always going to be there. You know, this idea of oil and gas and electricity and, you know, the idea of having a future just guaranteed because somebody on TV says so, just because some advertisers tell you that, you know, the world is always going to be peaches and cream doesn't mean it's going to be true. And so the idea of Jubilee, even back then, was that you had to, every once in a while, cancel all the debts to be able to start over. You know, you just, you know, closed up the deck and you did a renew deal. And so, you know, this was one of the laws of Moses that, you know, God said, you know, you're supposed to do a Jubilee. Well, we've never had a Jubilee. You know, the various kinds of churches have been way too interested in cashing in on, you know, keeping the tithes rolling in and you know, kowtowing to the big government and whatnot. And so they've never really had jubilees like we should. And nowadays, you know, frankly, with 9-1-1, we're in a position now where all of the religions of the world are being eaten alive. You know, everybody's shouting at each other about who's the better. You know, the Muslims are also from Moses. They come off on the family of Abraham, while the Christians come off on the family of David. But they're cousin religions. You know, the Muslims think that they think that Jesus already came and that Muhammad was the second coming of the Christ. And the Christians think that Jesus came once and he hasn't returned yet. And the Jews think that the Messiah has never shown up yet, and they're still waiting for the first first go round. But, you know, the three religions, you know, all believe in Moses, and if Moses says we're supposed to have a Jubilee, well, and then we've got various Ayatollahs and rabbis and Jim and Tammy types that are telling us that they're holier than thou and that everybody else is in apostasy. We don't have to believe these guys. Let's just go back to Moses, start a new deck, you know, cancel out all the debts and start over. And the concept of Jubilee really deals a lot with sustainability, because you know, we're essentially being told that the national debt is going to get higher and higher and higher and higher because,
right.
because they want it to.
Right.
Their paranoia, their bad debts, their bad planning, their hokum, their smoke and mirrors tell them that we got to keep paying and our grandchildren have got to keep paying for centuries to come.
Well, look at where all the money's going. I mean, look at all the expense of these global expenditures with our military.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we don't have to believe it. I mean, we don't have to fall for it. You know, I don't know if you've ever been able to get a, you know, work your way through the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, but that book is really clear about the Romans and how they got conned in the concept of a war without end, and they had two different problems. Probably the simplest way to say it is that you got a paranoid with a budget. So you got somebody like Bush, and he's paranoid as all get out, and he's got a budget that, you know, without end.
He might be doing a lot of cocaine too. We don't even know.
I suspect you're absolutely right.
That will bring on paranoia. I can guarantee you that.
You know, it's funny little one side. You know, I was thinking. You know what a focus group is?
Yes.
I was thinking maybe going down to a drug rehab place and finding a whole cross section of different druggies and put them in a room and put together a focus group, and then you take videos of Rumsfeld and Bush and show them, you know, these guys at various stages in their speeches and say, what drugs are these guys on?
Yeah. Yeah. And why not drug test all our federal employees and our legislators? And the president should be drug tested.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You know, I mean, to hold that high office, and certainly I consider the president just a figurehead for the Federal Reserve anyway.
Yeah, but that's exactly right. These big money boys, you know, they're demanding that they get paid. In fact, I called up one of these shows the other day. You know, you say from Oklahoma? You know,
I'm there now, yes. I'm here now in Oklahoma. I'm from California, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know who Will Rogers is, of course.
Certainly.
Yeah, Will Rogers had this great piece. One of his books was called The Illiterate Digest. Funny book. It's great. And there's one of them is called, I forgot actually the title of the piece, but it's about drafting money in times of war.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept is that just like you demand that an 18-year-old boy give up everything when he gets drafted. If a wartime comes, you should draft all the money of the country, and that way nobody can profiteer. So just like you tell an 18-year-old boy that he's going to risk his arms, his legs, his eyes, you know, and everything he is to serve the nation, you should demand from the rich that they should give up all of their money to serve the nation, to get it protected so that they can get back down to the business of making money. And, you know, why should they get a profit when it comes to making arms and selling food and other material? You know, they should just draft the money, and that'll put a stop to these wars really quick.
Yeah, good point. And maybe we should have a public election whether we want to go to war or not.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. And, you know, these guys, if you look at it in terms of whether Bush, you know, being high or whether he's just, you know, high on the idea of making money from profiteering, these guys have got a structure going where they can, every time their nightmares, you know, they have a nightmare, they get to spend more money. And, you know, it's really plain. Did you hear this newest scandal where Bush outed? They actually had an insider in Al-Qaeda. They had a mole in Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
And they outed this poor schmuck, and now everybody that this guy knows and him are, like, doomed to death, and they've lost their inside track to Al-Qaeda. Did you hear about this?
No, I did not.
Yeah, look it up. The guys, I'll try to find you his name while we're talking.
You know, the funny thing about this Al-Qaeda, and all these other different groups, because they've got a whole offshoot of other groups too now, and they're all called terrorist groups.
Right, right.
But we really don't know anything about the CIA and what they do. and the Central Intelligence Agency is accountable to no one.
Right. And they now want to give it over to an even bigger organization, and essentially tell us that we have no ability to. You know who Robespierre was?
Yes.
Yeah, in France, you know, in the
French, Revolution.
Yeah, and Robespierre was kind of notorious because he claimed that he was on the side of the people, but by God, he put about everybody to death that he possibly could. And our founding father, Thomas Paine, was over there, and Robespierre almost killed him. And, you know, Thomas Paine, right after the American Revolution, he said, well, you know, America may be free for a few minutes, but if we don't go over to Europe and free the rest of the countries of Europe, you know, they're just going to band together and attack us. So, you know, he and the, Monroe and a few of the others, Ben Franklin was a strong believer in going back and freeing Europe. And so Paine went straight over to France and did his best, and he got rounded up by Robespierre, and he actually sneaked a letter out of prison. He got it back to George Washington, and I believe Monroe walked into George Washington's office, and by dumb luck he looked in his trash can and saw this. He recognized the handwriting of Thomas Paine laying in the trash, and pulled it out, and man, he chewed out Washington, and they got him free. Washington was essentially going to see to it that Paine died. That's one of the scandals about Washington. But anyway, this whole idea of having a fake Robespierre, you know, this whole 911 commission is telling us that we've got to have a strong man to be our new security czar. And I'll tell you what, that doesn't sound like a good idea to me.
No.
And, you know, so the Democrats are you know, playing this politics against the Republicans and trying to see who's going to get to choose this guy, when we don't need this junk at all. We need to free the rest of the world and from all of these various dictatorships that, you know, these creeps have been putting in power for centuries.
Yeah, and certainly the creation of the IMF in 1944 and the countries having to join the IMF with giving them a certain amount of their wealth to join, is a major stepping stone to corporate fascism.
Yeah, well, that's right, and it's a that's why Jubilee to me is the best idea, you know, because we don't necessarily want to go to a religious government, but these guys have so, you know, mixed religion and politics that I don't think they would live up to. They wouldn't even pretend to believe in Moses or you know, God anymore if it ever came time to talking about Jubilee. So I think we got to shake them out of this religious jargon that they're using and force the issue. Okay, George, do you really believe in God? Well, let's see where's your Jubilee. And the thing is that it would do the same, you know, if the U.S. ever even started thinking about Jubilee, then it would raise it in Israel, and that would take some of the heat out of the, you know, these super right-wing con artist organized crime types out there that are cashing in on the military. And then it would also take the heat off of the poor Muslims that are getting eaten alive by their phony kind of Ayatollahs, you know. And it would, you know, as soon as you take the debt burden off of everybody in the world, you're going to get rid of most of the terrorism in the world. As far as I can tell, you know, most of the real terrorists are those who are, you know, say, for example, the sweatshops of the world.
Yeah.
You end up with, what are they saying, like 6-year-old girls are being hired to work in the silk factories, and they go blind by the time they're 8, and they get arthritis by the time they're 10, and, you know, break their backs and die at an early age. These sweatshops of the world are the problem, and as soon as we get a Jubilee going, then all of a sudden nobody has to work for sweatshops, and you know, you start over the numbers from zero, and everybody has a clean chance again instead of being born into some numbers that our great grandfathers were trapped in. You know, we're essentially living by numbers that our great grandfathers were trapped in. And, you know, why we have to cut down the forests and, you know, cut down, you know, pollute the air and the water just to make a few bucks, you know, in order to, it doesn't make any sense that we have to poison our own land just to pay off a debt that will never get paid off. And the concept of Jubilee is going to really shake out, you know, who's, I don't want to get into weird jargon, but, you know, it'll do some real shaking, and it's plain good economics. You know, 9/11 has torn apart the economies of the world, and everybody has to dance, you know, according to Bush and them, you know, we have to dance to their tune just because they say so. And if they say that interest rates have to rise, well, I guess so. And I guess if we have to pollute more just to stop the terrorists, well, I guess so. And we have to give up on our hospitals and our roads and our schools and our future just because the terrorists might win. Oh, well, I guess so.
Well, look at a lot of the ammunition that's being used today with depleted uranium.
Yeah. I mean, how stupid is that?
I mean, the whole point is the aerial spraying that was going on for so many years here. You've looked in the sky yourself, I'm sure, in California.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen it. So is this the Hegelian dialectic being pulled on us?
Well, it could be. I'm not sure which part of the Hegelian dialectic you're talking about, but
any part connects to the point of the same group creating the problem, and that same group coming in with the solution.
Oh yeah, there you go.
And here we have this global vision, and you have a global vision corporation.
Yeah.
And who's it sponsored by? UNICEF, the UN Development Program, the UN Environment Program, UNESCO, the World Health Organization. I mean, here it is in 2004, where UNETO, United Nations Industrial Development Organization, was formed in 1947. So all this that we're living today is as a result of what was created in the 1940s, as far as I can see. And I don't think I'm off on this, because you have all this conglomeration of power in fewer and fewer hands, and now we're working with sustainable development, which is it's big.
Well, you know, it's much older than the 40s and the UN.
But you got to keep it as simple as possible, because you don't want to take it too far back, because we're confronted with the problem today.
Well, that's true, but at the same time, if you, like, in other words, you know, if you've got a critter and it runs under one rock, and then you lift up that one rock and they run under a second one, so, you know, a lot of people were tracking these people down in the, in the late 1800s when the Industrial Revolution was going, the American Revolution and they ran under a rock, and then the French Revolution and they ran under another rock, and you know, it's just been a series of different rocks that they're hiding under.
Right.
But the con of the corporate state and fascism is really no different than the structure of mercantilism, which was what the American Revolution of 1776 was. And that was that there was this aristocracy, so wise and perfect that they know how to run all of our lives.
Right.
We just better shut up and take it. And you know, well, we've had a good education system going in America for a lot of, you know, a couple of centuries now.
Absolutely.
And we've got enough common sense that we know we don't have to fall for this junk. And so now when they tell us that we have to destroy our education system in order to do their bidding, well, we don't have to believe that. You know, homeschooling is a solution, this and that.
Yes.
But the idea of the United Nations was, it was created with a lot of hope that it would create an ability to prevent wars, but real quickly, within 10 years, it was completely taken over. Every one of these agencies were captured by the corporations.
Well, I would be more inclined to thinking about the communist system and the communist international system than the corporations, because the Soviet Union, created by the Federal Reserve bankers, engineered all this to come about. And the infiltration of the Soviet into the United Nations from the start is pretty well been documented. Alger Hiss went to prison for being a Soviet agent, and he was the first Secretary General of the UN. And he was from this country, representing this country.
I didn't know he was the Secretary General, but
I think he was the first Secretary General of the UN, Alger Hiss.
I thought he was just an ambassador or an undersecretary of state or something.
Well, who was the first Secretary General of the UN? We don't know, do we?
I'm trying to think. It was Dag Hammarskjöld, wasn't it?
I don't know.
The Swiss guy, I believe. But he got assassinated. Boy, there were all sorts of. I'm telling you, boy, these corporations they assassinated and destroyed the early United Nations quickly. I think he died in the 50s, like 53 or something like that. Mysterious plane crash. Dag, and he was Norwegian, I think. Hammerskjöld, I think. Dag Hammarskjöld. But what I was just leading up to is the concept of the corporate state, and Mussolini and Rocco were the so-called philosophers that came up with a modern version of the corporate state. I think they wrote this in like 1922 or something like that, and then Hitler got a copy while he was in prison, and he turned it into fascism. But the structure is that you got this round table of, you got a country, and the country has a round table. And every one of the seats at the round table are made up of the different kinds of industry. And ideally, as far as Mussolini and Rocco, that these are monopolies, that you don't have competition, you have nothing but monopolies. So you have the printing monopoly, you have the shipping monopoly, you have trucking, you have water, you have sewage, you have all of the different structures of, you know, food production, things like that. And all of these different kinds of monopolies sit at the round table. Well, the people still get a vote, but they get to vote for one leader, you know, a president or something like that, that will sit at the table and have to compete against all of these different monopolies. So the structure is that, and he called that, I think Mussolini and them called that a form of socialism. As far as a lot of socialists were concerned, it was a lot of, you know, hokum, but they called it, and then Hitler called it national socialism. But the structure is that the people, even though they make up 100% of the country, they only get to vote for one guy who then gets to compete against all of these different interests. And there's no way that, the only way that the people can elect somebody who's strong enough is essentially to elect a dictator, which means that there is no more vote. And so the structure of the corporate state is this idea that these corporations that sit around the table, these monopolies that sit around the table, are so perfect. You know, these people are so wise and good and perfect,
yeah,
that they can run our lives for us.
Right.
And many of the universities have been essentially pushing this idea for, you know, for decades, many.
Yes.
You know, and we the people, you know, have been going to public school and we're out by 18 or whatever, and then we never, you know, typically take on more education and learn that this structure is being force-fed us.
Right.
Hey, it sounds like you got another call coming in, or?
I don't know what that is, but.
Somebody in over here, so.
I'm trying to get to a place where we can agree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sustainable development, sustainability is, it's taken on many facets to take away freedom at this point in time. And you have a structure in place from the United Nations, and the State Department implements United Nations directives. We have the U.S. mission to the United Nations at the State Department. I don't see that any of this is going to be creating anything good, because they're going to be telling us everything we have to do over all facets of life, including how we're going to go to the bathroom from the World Toilet Organization.
Oh, I know what you're saying. And frankly, that's why, I used to live out in Appleton, Colorado. It was, out near the Utah line.
Well, that was a nice place to live. Why'd you move to California?
It was beautiful, frankly. But it when I was out there, this was during the oil shale problem of the early 80s.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, these guys had put together a fake energy. It was bad science, and they put together this shale oil project out there. And then they fired everybody, and I think 20,000 people were laid off in something like 6 months' time. The county only had 90,000, and 80,000 were laid off in a 6 months' time. So after a point, you know, for the first year, there was horrible strife. I mean, people were selling their expensive stuff, trying to make their mortgage payments, and, you know, their prostitution and alcoholism and everything.
Oh, I'll bet.
Suicide. It was horrible for probably a year or two. Well, after a while, people said, we can't live this way. You know, we got human dignity. We're not going to live this way. So they just started bartering. And they said, you know, they're never going to send more money out our way. We might as well just barter.
That sounds good.
It is. And that's the way we can deal with it now, or we can deal with it later. And it's better to deal with it now. And this is just one version of Jubilee. Is when you refuse to use the money that the fat cats want us to use, you just start bartering your own, whether you have goats and chickens and corn, and you just start selling it on the side, and you do your barter arrangements, and that's the way the fat cats get whipped back in line. You stop sending your money down to McDonald's. You don't send your money. You spend your money locally. You keep that money in town.
Okay, now you're talking about Jubilee. Is how do we find out more about this?
Well, you can look it up online. It's real easy.
Okay.
There was something called the Jubilee 2000 that was kind of put together by a whole bunch of different organizations. Some of it was kind of phony. Some of it was kind of good. And that was where, you remember 10 and 20 years ago, where a lot of these countries of the world, the third world countries, were getting eaten alive by the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. They were being told that they had to shut down everything in order to give the IMF and the World Bank, you know, payment on loans that the dictators had come up with.
Right.
Jubilee 2000 was an example where they just canceled, they forced the World Bank and the IMF to cancel their debts. And there were a lot of, you know, church people involved, and I think, you know, I don't know if Ralph Nader personally was involved, but, you know, people like him and, you know, people that just knew that it wasn't right to starve these people to death, you know, just to pay off debts that some dictator had run up. And, you know, so a lot of what's going on is just being trapped in these debts. And we've got to keep electing people who... whether it's city, local, statewide, countywide races, you know, in some cases, if you're not going to win the presidency, you at least can go to vote on your school board, on your, you know, on your sewer board, on your water board, and make sure those people are clean, and you just keep nickel and diming these elections, and keep the money local, spend money only on what you believe in. Don't spend it on corporations that are sucking it out of town. Make them dance to your tune. You know, if you're going to be broke anyway, you can always say you're not going to buy anything because you're boycotting them.
Uh-huh.
If you don't have any money and you're not going to go there anyway, you just say, oh, well, I'm boycotting them. And that, they can't stand that, you know. They'd rather you were poor and you couldn't go than you were boycotting them. So, you know, Jubilee is... it's a historic, it's a law of Moses, it's something that the Christians, the Muslims, and the Jews should be believing in if they believe in Moses, but the organized religion doesn't believe in it because they're too hooked up with the fat cats, so. Yeah, I hear your bell, so.
Okay, now, so we look up Jubilee 2000, we're going to find something, huh?
Yeah, well, that was one example of an organization. Just look up online Jubilee, go to the library, look up Jubilee. It's a historical standard of Moses, and you could look it up under religion, you could look it up under economics, and it's the concept...
Okay, wait a minute, stay with us another few moments, okay? Let's get this nailed down. And then we'll let you go, okay, Dave?
Yeah, no trouble.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. What should the true Christian response to the homosexual marriage license debate be? It should be the same response that Christians should have had to marriage licensing in the first place. The very definition of a license demands that we not obtain one to marry. Black's Law Dictionary defines license as the permission by competent authority to do an act which, without such permission, would be illegal. We need to ask ourselves, why should it be illegal to marry without the state's permission? More importantly, why should we need the state's permission to participate in something which the Creator himself instituted? We do not need the state's permission to marry. What if you apply and the state says no? You must understand that the authority to license implies the power to prohibit. A license, by definition, confers a right to do something. The state cannot grant the right to marry because it is a God-given right. Should homosexuals have the right to obtain a marriage license? Let them grovel before their God, the state, for permission to do that which is unlawful in the eyes of the Creator. What should we do? Christian couples should not be marrying with state marriage licenses, nor should ministers require them. Some have said, if someone is married without a marriage license, then they won't really be married. Given the fact that states may soon legalize same-sex marriages, we need to ask ourselves, if a man and a man marry with a state marriage license, and a man and a woman marry without a state marriage license, who's really married? In reality, this contention that people are not really married unless they obtain a marriage license simply reveals how statist people are in their thinking. We need to think biblically. You should not be required to obtain a license from the state to marry any more than you need one to be a parent, which in some academic and legislative circles are currently pushing to be made law. But that is another topic. This free speech moment has been brought to you by FirstAmendmentRadio.com. You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and following the instructions there to support us, or call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Almost.
All right, we're back with the broadcast, and we've still got Dave online here. Now, this Jubilee 2000, did this come up in your own mind, or have you known about this for a period of time, or what?
Well, when I first started studying religion, I learned about it, and then I realized that Moses was as much an economist as he was a patriot and a revolutionary and everything else. But the idea of Jubilee 2000 was specifically an organization, I think it was created in like 1998 or 9, and they were trying to create a jubilee for these third world countries who were trapped by all of this international debt.
Who was behind Jubilee?
Well, Moses. I mean, it's an original...
I mean, today.
Oh, today? Well, I don't know. Anybody in their right mind, as far as I'm concerned,
It's not interconnected to the UN, is it?
No, I don't think so. I think, but Jubilee 2000 as an organization, they may have had, members. Well, I mean, many of the third world countries were probably, and you could say their membership, then they were UN tied. But many of the third world countries were so eaten by debt that they had to get free from it. And there are aspects. I'd have to talk to you more about it on another show because another guy over here wants to use the phone. But yeah, just check it out as a basic one. You're on 5 nights a week?
Actually, I'm on Monday through Thursday usually.
Yeah, I'll try calling you like next week, and
okay.
we'll talk more about it. One other thing, you remember I was telling you there was Bush had outed a mole in the Al Qaeda.
Right.
Look up his name. It's Mohammed Noor Khan. Noor Khan. Mohammed Noor Khan. And he was a 25-year-old Pakistani computer engineer nabbed in a July 13th raid in Lahore, and then he became an Al-Qaeda mole, and Bush just outed him. He was like the only insider that we had in Al-Qaeda, and Bush outed him a couple of days ago just for cheap political den. So, you know, he's actually made it now worse, because now all of these people that anybody Noor Khan knew is probably dead, plus... you know, it's
yeah.
awful, man, and it's yeah. So it's terrible. Hey, this guy needs the phone.
Okay, Dave,
blaring at me.
Thanks for your time.
Hey, have a good night.
You too. Bye bye. Yeah, I kept him on for a period of time here. I sort of wanted to get to the bottom of something, because we're always looking for a possibility for a solution. It's so big today. All of this is so big, and how many have ever heard of Global Vision Corporation? A Global Vision Communicating Sustainability. Global Vision. And Darren, globalvision.org, global-vision.org, get it up on the site when you have time. This is so big, and it's just not talked about, and it's not of any concern to other talk show host, and this is the problem. If Rush Limbaugh started raving about this, well, he wouldn't have his job, first of all. He'd get censored. But this Global Vision Corporation, what is it but an independent, non-profit, non-governmental organization accredited to the United Nations Commission on Sustainable Development, the CSD, a network of 53 governments and over 700 NGOs, collaborating to implement Agenda 21. And you don't think this is a big problem, some of you. The International Action Plan for the Sustainable Development of Our Planet, which was agreed by 185 nations at the UN Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro in 1992. How many times have we heard this before? As part of this historic endeavor, they call it, Global Vision is producing the Global Vision Project, an international educational media campaign to sell the concept of sustainability as a global goal. Now, Dave called in thinking saying sustainability is good in some ways and bad in other ways. Well, when you're talking about control of people by a handful of people, I don't know how that could be any good at all. This is my problem with all this, is you're being told what you can and can't do because we're entwined into a governmental one world order system. And this is the thing that bothers me and has bothered me my entire life. They say this project is designed to provide leading thinkers and organizations working on solutions to global problems with the means to combine our insights, integrate our outreach, and deliver our message of a positive future more effectively to the global public. Now, once again, we have the creation of wars. You have the creation of weather modification to engineer. No growth in some parts of the world. You have the creation of fires. And certainly there have been more fires probably in recent years and any time in human history as well, which is a drain on the economy of wherever the fires are. But you see how all this is being engineered for us, and this is the big problem we have, people. The project, they say, involves the participation of a network of international partners, including the United Nations agencies, NGOs, universities, institutes, foundations, socially responsible corporations. What's a socially responsible corporation? And also, don't forget the leading thinkers around the world. That doesn't include us, though, does it? Global Vision's work is made possible by financial and in-kind support from sponsors. Well, gee, America, I wonder who some of these sponsors might be. This is the problem we live with. You have the World Health Organization, is that a sponsor? The United Nations Children's Fund is a sponsor, UNICEF, United Nations Department of Public Information, the United Nations Development Program, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, the UNEP, the United Nations Environment Program, and the United Nations Population Fund, the UNFPA. And you have the International Institute for Sustainable Development, which is a non-governmental organization. Television Trust for the Environment, the TVE. You have Apple Computer is one of the sponsors. Apple Computer, my goodness. And they just got a... oh, boy, I'll tell you. Clifford Chance out of London. Who's Clifford Chance? From Devlon Video Services out of New York. Let's see. I guess Clifford Chance is separate. Devlon Video Services is separate. Well, I'm not sure. Digital Charity out of London. Digital Clarity out of London. International American Productions Incorporated, New York. London Post out of London. Manhattan Office Products Incorporated. Mystic Fire Video Incorporated out of New York. The Pentagon Lip Services Real World out of New York, the BMI. That's what they call it, the Pentagon Lip Services Real World out of New York. Stable Films Incorporated, New York. Sun Microsystems out of New York. Image Bank Incorporated out of Dallas, Texas. And The Mill from London. The J.M. Kaplan Fund is one of the foundations. You have the World Game Institute. What is the World Game Institute? And we have individuals, Ann Braillard, Ann Fosty, Gilbert, or Peter Gabriel. Well, I wonder if that's the same Peter Gabriel that used to sing. David Gordon, Mary Kaplan, Margaret Lloyd, Dr. Brian Levine O'Callaghan, Robert Rauschenberg, Godfrey Roggio, Martin Scorsese. Well, we know who he is. I'll tell you.
And you have Craig from Ohio.
You can become a sponsor as well if you like. And you can access all this information on the Global Vision homepage, globalvision.org. We have a caller from Ohio. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, how are you doing this evening?
So far, so good, I suppose.
I've been listening to the program. It's a very interesting program. I enjoy this program here.
Thank you.
It's the first time I've been on here. Hey, there's a solution here. These globalists, a lot of them are, or maybe could be, Satanists, if you will, or whatever their economic religion is, or whoever they worship. Okay, they know the Bible very well. Or they know the Torah or the Mosaic Law or whatever you're going to call it. In this law system, there's a procedure method to release the penalties coming upon us here in America, specifically. There's a form of relief called a burnt offering or a sin offering. If you got 10,000 people doing a burnt or sin offering once a year, I'll tell you what, the things would change drastically. But see, everybody says that old-timey law system or this or that has been abolished. Well, if that's true, then why are we got any Satanists playing the game right out of Satan's handbook, which is nothing more than a puppet of whoever made this planet himself? So what I'm saying is, if we went back to the old-timey law system and got away from this Canaanite trafficking trash, these psycho trash games, we can make things change very quickly here.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of my opinion. You guys are pretty overwhelming on the problems, but I got an answer, I believe.
Okay.
And I think that individually, if you would do them kind of procedures, I think that things would change very drastically, very quickly, on or in the United States specifically. The other thing I'm thinking is that it would create a conflict between the natural law or the old-timey common law versus the Roman civil law. It would move the Eternal, the Creator, in such a manner that he has to comply, because we're using a procedure he laid down to get relief. So that's kind of my thing, and I really don't have much more to say on that.
Well, sounds very interesting. If there's a way to elaborate on it in an email, that would be good to send to me.
Okay, well, I'll do that.
Okay, let's do that, because certainly I'm out for solutions, and it's just been going on for so long, and we've been beating our head against a post for so long, and it's just been building and building to the point where your city council meetings, you aren't even allowed to ask questions anymore. And this is getting more and more drastic as time progresses, to the point where, yeah, let's find solutions, but with the power structure that's in place with the corporations and actually the media, they're the group that are keeping us in the dark. And I don't know how to break that.
Well,
hold.
I would say everybody wants the old common law in full force and effect. Well, the old common law is brutal as hell. But I would say that it's a very pleasant, brutal system, because there's a lot more benefits from this system than there is the old Canaanite Roman civil system. And if we, you know, barter is one of the methods to do business at law, because
yeah,
everything's predicated on property.
Uh-huh.
Your rights. So what we need to do is, I'm thinking, is jump off the ship. Walk around like Christ or Yeshua, be like sort of like Moses in a way, and stop, like you guys were saying, stop doing business with these multinational trash corporations, because that's really what they are. Their products are garbage. They do nothing but kill you. They're poisonous.
Mm-hmm.
They destroy your internal organs.
Yeah.
And the other products are slave labor and murder and, you know. So,
well, if you can put some design together on an email and send it to me, I'll sure like to talk more about it.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling. Really, anybody that wants to get involved, I'm all for it. It's just, you know, the integrity and the honesty of an individual, you can see it. And we've been buffooned before, but at this point in time, the way all this is being engineered, and more and more are coming out and understanding what Agenda 21 is all about. And once they get into it, they get farther into it and deeper, and they see how far it's going. I mean, there's an article in the paper here, and I've got about four or five newspapers here, front pages, and I'll try and cover it tomorrow. But I'm just going to tell you that under the MAPS, Metropolitan Area Project, which is part of Agenda 21 in Oklahoma, they're building schools. They're tearing down schools and rebuilding them at taxpayer dollars, raising property taxes. Well, there's just one particular school where so much vegetation is required to be planted around the school and in the school that the people that are developing this project are saying that the vegetation is going to be way too expensive to maintain, and they're saying this doesn't make sense. Where's the money going to come from to maintain this vegetation? And where's it going to come from, people? Property taxes. The property taxes are going to continue to rise. It's never going to go down. And slowly but surely, like the boiling frog, people are going to be inched out of their property as they can't afford to pay their property taxes. And this is just like the progressive income tax, one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. And that is the point. It's communitarianism now, but it's actually communism in America. And that is the sad commentary that I always have and have for a long time. And it seems like we're picking up new listeners. That's good. I hope we can continue building the listenership again. But this Global Vision 2000, shoot, how many knew about this until tonight? I claim ignorance to it. I'm sorry, but maybe I forgot. But they talk about media products currently in various stages of development and our production include a documentary film called Ecology of Mind, an artistic documentary film and multimedia educational package called Sustainability, a musical feature film called Global Vision, an urban management GIS computer simulation program called Sustainable City, an electronic time sculpture called Population Explosion, and cutting-edge film and video editing software called Image Resonance. TV programs produced and or directed by members of Global Vision staff have aired on, well, gee, ABC, CBS, NBC, Discovery Channel, Arts and Entertainment Network, that's A&E, people, European Broadcasting Union, the Channel 4 out of the UK, and the French networks, Arte, Antenne 2, FR3, TV5, Channel Plus, it goes on and on. All this propaganda being fed to the masses that have been slowly but surely dumbed down and drugged down. This Global Vision was founded in 1982 by the Irish information artist Michael O'Callaghan in New York. Amazing. Not really. He set up Global Vision Trust in London in 1996 and is currently in the process of incorporating Global Vision in Ireland as a registered Irish charity. Since moving its base to Ireland in 2001, Global Vision has been incubating the Sustainable Dublin Initiative. And you can go right now to sustainabledublin.com and the International Institute of Astrochronology, and boy, I'll tell you, isn't that amazing? Astrochronology. Oh, geez. In 1994, they planned to set up a new base in a 12th century castle and village on a hilltop in Tuscany, Italy, where they will continue their media production and launch the following programs. Get this. 1. Education for Sustainability, International Sustainable Development Leadership Training Programs and Workshops for Teenagers to implement local Agenda 21 solutions to global problems in their schools and communities. 2. Eco-villages and ecologically intelligent architecture, state-of-the-art resource center to promote the development of solar energy, environmental building design, and sustainable eco-villages in the European community. Now, solar energy might be good, but you have batteries with solar energy. Solar energy takes in the power of the sun, stores them in batteries, and then you work off the batteries, and the solar energy recharges the batteries. Well, what happens when all those batteries wear out? They have to be recycled. Then you have 3, science and the sacred works. Science and the sacred? What is science and the sacred? Workshops, seminars, and conferences to foster intellectual pluralism with leading thinkers from the sciences, the humanities, and the world's spiritual traditions. Amazing. See, this is all new to me, listeners. I'm not embarrassed to tell you this. But you have sustainable agriculture. We've heard of that. That's 4, research and development for the production and marketing of organic produce in Tuscany and the Mediterranean bioregion. Global Vision founder Michael O'Callaghan says that solving the current global crisis requires a proactive, strategic, whole systems approach to the use of information. Scientific evidence indicates that humankind still has the resources, the technology, and the knowledge to develop a form of civilization that could be economically healthy, socially equitable, and ecologically sustainable. I think we can have that without this. I think when you understand the Iron Mountain Report, where the creation of the problem is developed, and that's why we have to keep harping on the Hegelian dialectic to create the problem so the solution can be implemented. And that is the point. David Icke coined it first, as far as I know, problem, reaction, solution. David Icke. Where is he coming from, ultimately? I don't know. Is he trustworthy? I just don't know. Who is trustworthy? Only you and yourself can know who's trustworthy or not in yourself. And that's where we are today. It's the individual. It's us individually coming together, trying to work together on creating a viable solution to what's being implemented on us. Now, we have this juggernaut United Nations system here being implemented for us. This global crisis, they call it, has been a created crisis. And to ignore it is only going to make it worse. And I guess that's why I'm back on the air. Because I only hear from Tim that Derry Brownfield's the only one that's really doing anything to educate the public about what's happening. And I think Dr. Stan Monteith's doing very well himself with his information, too. But people, this Global Vision News Network, they have that. And you can go to gvnews.net. That's gvnews.net, Global Vision Television Productions. You can learn about them. You can see all this is being engineered under the guise of Agenda 21. And granted, I haven't gotten into the newspapers today. It just came to me to find this, to launch into this. And one of my listeners suggested I punch in something like Agenda 21, what was it, Agenda 21, something having to do with Agenda 21 and population reduction, and I'm not there right now, but we caught on to Global Vision, communicating sustainability. It's sponsored by UNICEF, the UNDP, the UNEP, the UNFPA, the UNESCO, and the WHO. You can learn all about it by going to global-vision.org. And Darren, I hope you get this up on the website as soon as possible. Global-vision.org. I don't think it's on our website yet. It needs lots of coverage. We'll be back tomorrow night to do some more of this amazing stuff. I'm sorry to be the one that gives you all this information. I wish there were more to help me along. We'll continue, God willing, tomorrow night. Good night.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help.